Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 will be our text this morning. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I'm sure you've read it before, but Ephesians chapter 5 is part of the practical part of the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Chapters 1 to 3 are doctrinal. Chapters 4 to 6 are practical, the outworking of the doctrines that he has expounded in chapters 1 to 3. And in chapter 5, we're in the middle of this practical outworking of the doctrines that he has laid down. In other words, he's impressing upon these Gentile Christians who had newly embraced the Lord Jesus Christ in faith that they are to live differently from all other Gentiles round about them. And in this particular instance, these verses that we read earlier, he is calling the Christian to walk in wisdom, to be different from other Gentiles. And of course, the implication is that the other Gentiles were foolish. Foolish. And he's calling upon them to walk in wisdom. And as we have said, these last three chapters in Ephesians 4 to 6 are full of practical considerations. For instance, the Christian is to walk worthily in chapter 4, verse 1. He's to walk humbly. He's to walk in unity. He's to be separated from the world's ways. He's to walk in love. And he's to walk in light. All of these things are mentioned in these verses. And the verses that we're looking at particularly, he is called upon to walk in wisdom. And this is what I want to impress upon ourselves this morning. Because he's telling us, if we don't redeem the time, if we're not careful about our time and all that embraces, then we are foolish. We are foolish in the sight of God. And therefore, this exhortation surely is appropriate for all of us. You see, by nature, by our fallen natures, we are so inclined to waste time. The Bible would have us to redeem time, because the days are evil. In the Greek New Testament, there are two words that are translated time. There may be other words in the Greek language, but we're not familiar with them. We will confine ourselves to the Greek New Testament. But in the Greek New Testament, there are two words that are translated time in our Bibles. The first word is chronos. And if you're kind of switched on at all, you will realize that from this word, chronos, we get the English word chronology. And that word, chronos, means time in the sense of what is the time of day, from which we get chronology. But that's not the word that was used here. Paul uses a different word, also translated time, but the word is kairos. Kairos. Now, I don't expect you to remember these different Greek words. That is not important. But what is important is there's a different meaning. And it means fitting season, or a particular season, or an opportunity, or an occasion. And what he's trying to impress upon his readers here and the hearers when he says redeeming the time, what he is in essence saying, to make use of every opportunity. That's what he's talking about. And the Bible does teach us there are certain times of opportunity that befall us all. And we are urged to make use of that opportunity, of that particular season that does not necessarily return. That's what he's impressing upon his readers. Making the use of your time and opportunity that comes to you in the providence of God. You may well wonder, why did we read from 2 Samuel? Is there any connection? Well, there is, friends. There is. We would look, just refresh our memories about the last verses of 2 Samuel chapter 5 when David is fighting with the Philistines. They come and attack him at Rephaim. The first time he goes out, he defeats them. But what happens? They come back again. They come back to Rephaim. They're going to attack David. David inquires of the Lord as he did in the first time. But this time the Lord gives them different instructions. Don't go up and attack them like you did the last time. No, circle them round about this time. But, verse 24, when thou hearest the sound of the going up in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. I put it to you, the Bible puts it to you, friends, that this was David's time, it was David's opportunity. Yes, circle the host of the Philistines, but wait for the Lord to move, wait for the bestirring of the mulberry trees, and then when that happens, up, go. That's your opportunity. That's what he's saying. And of course, we know the outcome was that the Philistines were defeated. Well, friends, the Bible is peppered with occasions when various seasons of opportunity came to people and they embraced them. This, friends, is what Paul is talking about here. He is encouraging the believers to redeem the time, to make the use of every opportunity that befalls them in the providence of God, that they might advance, that they might grow in grace, that they would not be like the way they were before, or like the Gentiles that they're living among, that they would not be wasting their time, wasting their opportunities, but they would capitalize upon their opportunities, that they would embrace them with wide open arms and make use of these things that God has given unto them. And I do believe this is important for us. You know, I think it's a common complaint about the lack of time. People always complain they don't have time for this or for that. Well, as we seek to proceed, friends, there's one or two things we want to say on this matter. And really, the first is that you have the same time as everyone else. We all live in time. Our days are 24 hours. That's not going to change for you or for me. You have the same time as everyone else. The busiest man or the busiest woman in the world does what they do in the same time scale as you do. You live in the same life, same world, governed by the same rules. And therefore, friends, you have the same time as anyone else. And if you see someone who's productive, if you see someone who capitalizes on their times and opportunities, it is because they have been wise. It's not that they have been given more time. We all live in time. We all have the same amount at our disposal. And of course, there are various things that we must do within that time. We must sleep. We must eat. We must drink. We must exercise. We must work. We must do normal everyday things that have to be done. Therefore, we must govern our time and manage our time appropriately. Again, when those say that they complain about a lack of time, friends, here's a warning to us all. We're not going to get any more time. We may say we have a lack of time. Well, let's bestir ourselves. Let us be clear. We're going to get no more time. You know, the time of your birth has been foreordained in eternity past. The time of your death has been foreordained in eternity past. And you have an appointment with death that cannot be thwarted, that cannot be extended. Some might cite to me Hezekiah and how his life was extended, how he prayed to the Lord that his life was extended. Well, how do we answer that? Well, what we answer that is that the Lord was simply dealing with him after the manner of men. His life was extended as far as we understand in a human perspective as God was dealing with him. But it was always in the decree of God that this illness would come upon him and that he would pray and his prayer would be answered. And in some respects, his life would be extended. That was always in the decree of God. And let us be clear, friends, however long we're going to live, that has been determined by God. And whatever we are to do in this world, we only have a limited time span. And no matter what we might do or say, it shall not be in any sense extended. We might also say, whatever God calls us to do, you have enough time to do it in. There's no point in going to God with excuses. You don't have time. If God has called us to do certain things, he has given us time to perform these duties. God calls all men everywhere to repent, without exception. This is part of the duty and the privilege of the gospel preacher. He is to go out and proclaim the good news of the gospel and command men and women and boys and girls in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to repent and believe the gospel. And you have time to do that. God does not command you to do something, and he does not provide the time or the occasion for it. Someone said, and I quote, "Life is too short for us to do everything we want to do, but it is long enough for us to do everything God wants us to do." There'll be no excuses on that day. If we're found on the left side of Christ, we'll never be able to raise an excuse like, "I did not have time." We have time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the time to seek the Lord whilst he may be found. These things have a practical application for us all, friends. For a gospel minister, it has application. He must continue to preach the gospel and to present the claims of Christ upon all who will hear. He must make use of every opportunity. Paul talks about to Timothy, in season and out of season. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. And maybe that's the time of day that we find ourselves living in at the moment. People who go to church, They don't want to hear the truth of the gospel. They don't want to hear the true word of God. They want to hear things that itch their ears, that please them, that will not confront them, that will not in any sense awaken their conscience. They're very happy to come and hear some lovely stories that will in some sense please them. But oh no, not the truth of the gospel. Well, friends, that day might come when the gospel preacher will have no hearers. No hearers. And you might go to another place, and the minister might be there, and he might have a full congregation. But what do you know? The gospel has not been proclaimed. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us as a gospel minister and as a gospel congregation to use every opportunity. This is one reason, and only one reason, why the minister continues to go out on the street. I don't think for one moment that our outreach efforts are the answer to the evangelistic efforts of our congregation. They are, as far as I can see, one strand, only one strand. But we do it because we have opportunity. We do it because we still can do it. But the day might come when the gospel preacher might not be free to preach in the open air. That day might come. You might laugh and say, oh, surely not. In a place like Scotland that was immersed with the gospel, surely that day will never come. Friends, it could well easily come. Who can tell? Therefore, we work while we can. We do what we can. Because the time might come when that opportunity might be deprived us. And then if it does, well, in one sense, we will have no regret. We did what we could. But it has a practical application to individuals. I'm thinking about parents and grandparents. They have children and grandchildren. At that time, when they're under your care and nurture, you have a duty and a responsibility to teach your children and grandchildren. You have that opportunity when you can positively influence your children. The time will come when these children and grandchildren will rise up, they will grow up, and they will form their own minds and their own opinions. And you will not have the same influence over them as you once had. This happens, and it happens very quickly. It seems to happen more quickly in the society that we live in. It was quite common in times past for any individual, any man or any woman who is about to be married, that they would first consult their parents. It didn't matter how old they were. They would consult and seek the approval of their parents before they would enter into any marriage. We, of course, know these days are long gone, and it does illustrate to us that we have a time, a limited time, when we can positively influence our children and grandchildren. Therefore, parents and grandchildren must be redeeming that time, using that opportunity, because the days are evil. And of course, this applies not just to parents, not just to grandparents, but to children also. There are exhortations in the Bible addressed to children. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Oh, is it not wonderful to see young people embracing Christ? Young people taking up the cross. young people standing in this wicked and corrupt generation and saying, we will follow Jesus. Is it not wonderful? We don't see much of it in our day and generation, but there are wonderful encouragements to children to seek the Lord now, that they might remember their Creator in the days of their youth, while the evil days come not. What are the evil days? Are the days of wickedness? Is that what he's talking about? No, friends, he's not talking about days of wickedness. It's not evil in that sense. He's talking about old age. That's what he's talking about. Now, of course, the minister does not want in any sense to degrade old age. Far from it. But the preacher, the wise man, knows that when these evil days, when these times of old age come, they're not able to do the things that they once did in their time of youth. That's evident. That's clear. Old age brings its own difficulties. And you only have to ask the older generation, and they're the first to tell us. They cannot do the things that they once did. That's what he's talking about. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. How many of the older generation have no pleasure in their days? No pleasure. This is a wonderful incentive to children, to young, to seek the Lord now. To dedicate your life to the service of the Lord now. To redeem your time, to embrace this wonderful opportunity. You know, some people think, children might think that, oh yes, I know the gospel's true. I know I must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the truth of the gospel. And yes, I do want to be saved one day. But it's going to be a day of my choosing. It's when I've had my fill of this world. When I've been in the world. When I've done many things. Then when I get older. When I get more mature. When I get more settled. Then, surely then, I will turn to the Lord. That is dangerous thinking. That is truly dangerous. Truly dangerous. It takes energy, friends, to repent. It takes energy to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you're saying to me, oh, but repentance is a gift from God. Are you not saying to me, yes, that saving faith is a gift from God? Yes, of course, that is true. But although repentance is a gift from God, and saving faith is a gift from God, yet God will not repent for you. God will not believe for you. You must repent. You must believe. God does graciously grant these gifts. But you have to exercise these gifts. Repentance is hard work. Repentance is forsaking your sins. And the longer you're in sin, the harder it becomes to forsake your sins. When you're younger, yes, you're still a sinner, of course. But sin does not have the same kind of stranglehold and dominion upon a young person as it does upon someone who's in middle age or old age. Redeem the time. Young people, recognize this is your opportunity. This is your day of salvation. Do you think it's going to get easier? Yes, it might well be difficult to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ now. Yes, you'll have to stand up and out from your friends, Yes, you will in some sense be separated from the world, but do you think it's going to get easier in 10 years' time or 20 years' time or 30 years' time? It won't. Ask any Christian, ask anyone. Oh, that we had our days of youth again. From a purely practical point of view, is it not much easier to learn when we're young? When you become a Christian, one of the first things that is a mark of grace is you want to read the Word of God. You want to meditate upon the Word of God. You want the Word of God to be in your heart. You want it to be on your lips. You want it to be able to use it in your conversation and in your witnessing. How much easier it is to learn when you're young, when you're 30, when you're 40, when you're 50, when you're 60. It's not so easy to commit the Word of God to your heart. The memory doesn't work the same way. Children, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In your strong days, when you're physically fit, mentally alert, come. This is the time to redeem the time. This is your golden opportunity. Come and call upon the name of the Lord now. Because whatever we're going to do for the Lord, we must do it now. Now. We're not guaranteed any other day. Jesus said, before he went to heal the blind man, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There are occasions when we cannot work. Even Christ recognized that in his humanity. The night cometh when no man can work. Let us redeem the time. Let us see these opportunities that God in his grace and in his mercy has given us. It has implication for Christians also. Not just for parents and grandparents and children. This exhortation that we are to redeem the time and to use every opportunity that God has given us applies to Christians. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, here again Paul in the practical part of the epistle to the Galatians, as we have therefore opportunity. That's the same word that's used here for time. As we have the same opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We are to do good to all, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our families, to those who are strangers to grace, and to those who are in the household of faith. As opportunity comes to us, take it. Whatever you're going to do for God, do it now. Don't put it off. It's vitally important that we do not live as unwise, but that we live as wise, redeeming every opportunity of time. We might say to ourselves, well, it's not easy. It's not easy. And we might put up the excuse because times are so difficult. We live in times when society seems to be totally against Christianity and the gospel. I can't remember the exact incident, but I'm sure I saw it. Someone, I think it was down near London, I could well be wrong, but they were on a train or a bus and they simply began to read their Bible. And the people round about them were all concerned about this. Here was someone reading the Bible. And they were linking him to a jihadist terrorist. simply because he was opening our holy book and reading from it. Such is the ignorance in this land, and such is the opposition to Christianity and the gospel and to Christ and his kingdom. And therefore we might say, well, these things are hard in the times that we live in. Well, this exhortation was given to the Ephesians who were surrounded with idolatry and immorality. And he says to them, redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. There were evil days then. And yet they were to live out their Christian life by redeeming the time and making use of every opportunity. Sometimes we might think, if only we lived in another age. If only we lived in the times of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones or Spurgeon or George Whitefield or Calvin or Knox or Luther, surely things would be better for us then. Sometimes our minds can have a false picture of history. And sometimes we look at history through rose-tinted glasses as if former ages were better. Well, we don't know all about history, but this we do know, friends. We are living in the times and in the circumstances and in the place that God would have us live. In his sovereignty, we are found here in 2017 in Partick, in Glasgow. And the Lord is calling us to live out our Christian lives by redeeming the times, no matter how evil the day may be. The grace of God is with us. He encourages us. He is with us. And therefore, we have no excuse. We are to redeem the time. Buy it back. Look at your old life, your life of unbelief. How did you live before? You lived just like others, serving yourself, involved in all kinds of things that were wrong and contrary to the gospel. Paul says now, redeem that time. Redeem that wasted time by living for the Lord and using every opportunity that he gives you, every fitting season. Like David, waited until the Lord moved, and then he bestirred himself. Well, we want to finally encourage ourselves, because there are many examples in the Bible of those who took the opportunity that befell them. We could think of blind Bartimaeus. What a wonderful encouragement he is for us. What happened? He's blind. He can't see. What a terrible handicap not to see. But he had ears and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. What was he going to do? Was he going to be a recluse? Was he going to run away? No, friends, he didn't. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Oh, they said to him, shut up, they said. He's not going to listen to you. Did he shut up? No. He cried out the more, and Jesus heard him. That was his fitting time. That was him redeeming the time. That was him making use of this opportunity. Jesus was passing through Jericho, maybe never to come again. And blind Bartimaeus was blind, and he knew that handicap, and he knew that Jesus could heal him. And he was not going to let him go until he came and healed him. That's the kind of mentality we must embrace by redeeming the time, capitalizing on these opportunities. The apostle Matthew, at the receipt of custom, taking his money, making his money, Jesus walks by, follow me, What's he going to do? Is he going to think? Is he going to ponder? Is he going to procrastinate? He hears the voice of the Lord Jesus, follow me. He leaves everything and takes up the cross and follows the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his day of opportunity. This is your day of opportunity. Come and embrace the Lord Jesus. Come and take up the cross and follow him. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't want to make a scene, but she knew if she but touched the hem of his garment, then she would be healed. And although there was a great crowd round about Jesus, and although she was a woman, and although she was unclean, she was going to touch the hem of his garment. She was going to seize that opportunity. What happened, friends? She touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. She seized that opportunity. Zacchaeus, he seized that opportunity. The thief on the cross, moments from eternity. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That was his opportunity. And he embraced it. Redeeming the time. Let us watch our time. We use a term, it's not a nice term, but it's well known. Kill time. I'm just killing time. Someone said, kill time and you murder opportunity. Time is precious. Let us use it. We speak of spending time. The Bible speaks of buying time. Let us therefore redeem our time, because the days are evil, and wholeheartedly embrace all the opportunities that are given to you and follow him whom to know is life everlasting. Amen. May God be pleased to bless his word to us. Let us pray together.